keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
You know, as we gather around the Thanksgiving table this year, there's a lot to be thankful for. It has been, there's a lot of challenges ahead. Of course, there are for our country, for our faith, and of course, for our allies. But that doesn't mean that we don't take time to be thankful for all the good things that we have another day, that we continue the fight, that we can continue to do the work we do here at the ACLJ, continue to do the broadcast for you. And it's something, again, that we're thankful to be able to wake up and do every day. And we thank God. We thank our supporters as well, who have that faith, driven by their faith in Christ, but also by their faith in ACLJ to do the right work, to use the resources. So we thank you. We have a lot to be thankful for. We all do, personally, privately, and also as an organization. And I want to just take a minute to say thank you to all of our supporters, whether you're a financial contributor, whether you're a listener who shares our broadcast, shares our post. It is all important, and we know you're all in a different position, but we thank God for all of you and everyone here at the ACLJ. There's a big team that is hard to comprehend every day, and we have to remind ourselves every day, the team that we're responsible for, the people that we're responsible for, and the resources that we're responsible for. So thank you. We appreciate you. And during this Thanksgiving and this week of giving thanks, you know, the work doesn't stop. And what we'll remind you today, of course, the work, whether it's the International Criminal Court with these arrest warrants issued. So not just the threat, not just the investigation, but now arrest warrants issued against people like Prime Minister Netanyahu in Israel. So how does that restrict his ability to travel? What can the ACLJ do? We have a unique experience through the ACLJ, the European Center for Law and Justice, specifically with the International Criminal Court, which not many American-based organizations, even with international affiliates, can say, because the United States, like Israel, is not a member state. So it's what do you do when you're not a member state, and yet they're trying to go after you through other individuals and working through these issues of international law, being able to cut through to all the politics and some of the, again, the talking point of the protesting, and just get down to the basics, which is the ICC has no jurisdiction here. They know it. They tried to do it through a Palestinian state that they gave jurisdiction to, that other international documents that predate the ICC restrict the Palestinians or the ICC or other international tribunals from doing, but they're testing them now. And they're testing them again at a time when they believe Israel is weaker internationally. So we know how important it is to have an administration coming in and officials coming in who have Israel's back, but we have to be ready also as an organization at the ACLJ and through our international affiliates to be there when these last 4 years, when you've got kind of an up and down, and a politician will say one thing to one group, or they'll literally run one ad to one part of the country saying how they're tough on Israel, and another ad in a different part of the country saying that they support Israel and you know, all of, so we know that it's not a time where everything is perfect, and we know there's a lot of people concerned about the direction of our country. But we've made changes. You made changes, and people went out and voted. Now we have to hold those people accountable as well to make the changes that they ran on, and you also have to give them space to get those changes in. Things don't always happen overnight. Some of them can, some of them don't. So we have to kind of prepare ourselves for that again as well. At the ACLJ, whether we're taking on the deep state, which is going to come back hard, well, it already has, let's be honest. Since the election, we've seen the deep state already take down people who President Trump wanted to bring in. And that is what they tried to do to everyone, including Supreme Court nominees and people that will be nominated in the future. Whether we're fighting in courts, defending a student's right, defending a teacher's right, or an employee's right, it's all for these bigger ideas that you understand. It's faith, freedom, and the ideas of liberty. And we, again, are so thankful for our supporters. We want you to get updated. Go to aclj.org. Support the work of ACLJ. You can double the impact of your donation right now. This is the time to do it. aclj.org. Go there today. Make that donation. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. We are witnessing attacks on our faith and freedoms on a global scale at an intensity we haven't seen in generations. Here at the ACLJ, we are uniquely positioned to meet these attacks head on. We've assembled an elite legal team in offices here and around the globe, and we've been fighting in courtrooms, at the UN, and the halls of Congress for nearly 35 years. We've argued before the Supreme Court numerous times, and we've scored multiple victories for faith and freedom, all thanks to you, our donors. In order to meet legal demands of historical proportions, we are launching our Faith and Freedom Drive. Your gifts are doubled, dollar for dollar. We need you now more than ever. The country needs you, the world needs you, and Israel needs you. Have your gift doubled through the ACLJ's Faith and Freedom Drive today. Go to aclj.org. Thank you.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
All right, welcome back to Secular. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. I do want to get calls up because I think, you know, for members of our military, those who served, many of you who probably served in conflicts where landmines were used, this is something that, I mean, the United Nations has tried to make a move because they are so dangerous, not just during conflicts, but after conflicts. Children end up, years after conflicts are done, decades sometimes, and children end up stepping on them. I mean, we've had big campaigns to try and rid the world of landmines, to say this is not something we are going to utilize. The Biden administration in 2022 said they're done producing them and they're going to actually start destroying our stockpile of landmines or whatever. I love the term that they use, anti-personnel mines, which is even more dangerous because I think that means that there are landmines that can actually take out an entire vehicle.
Yeah.
But now we're shipping them to Ukraine. So how does Russia respond, Ben? They respond with a debate that's now on TV, and I love these debates. Some headlines are the Russians have utilized an ICBM for the first time, an intercontinental ballistic missile. Now, it was not armed with a nuclear warhead, but it was fired. And then others are saying, no, it was mid-range. So a mid-range ballistic missiles, both of which are capable, very capable, of carrying a nuclear payload, including a weapon that we really haven't seen utilized on the battlefield. We have them, where the Russians have them, probably the Chinese have them. I don't know who else, maybe the Israelis, these tactical nuclear weapons. And tactical nuclear weapons mean they have less of a range of disaster, of nuclear fallout. This is not how you take out an entire city. But if you were going up against a massive force, or you were trying to take out, you know, a large amount of troops or vehicles, you would utilize one of these weapons and then hope that the nuclear fallout was contained. Remember, they have been tested, but they haven't been used in warfare. The Russians have just now told the world, listen, you're going to throw out landmines on us. You're going to keep funding this till the very, very end, and sending over U.S. troops to train how to fire into Russia. Then we're going to shoot off a couple of missiles that have got the capability of carrying nuclear weapons.
Yeah, and that was the only point of this. It was to say, you want to go there, get ready for this, and see what happens. I was talking this morning to somebody that works in the military, and he said to me, he goes, I don't think people understand just how close this can take us to World War III, because If you don't think that Vladimir Putin would use one of these nuclear weapons, the smaller ones, as you just described it, against people in Ukraine and say, well, this is because we had to hit this ammunition area or this airport or this power grid or all these troops where Zelensky was staging an invasion. They'll lie, right? There's propaganda. They will lie to their people and they will justify it to their people why they had to use a smaller nuclear weapon. This is something, if they did it, then how does the world react? That's the bigger question. I mean, you noticed last week that you had the German chancellor who called and said, hey, maybe we need to dial things down a little bit.
Yeah.
Because do you bring in these other countries? You have Russia that has just shut off a natural gas. To, I think it was Austria just a few days ago. This is ratcheting up to the things that happened in World War II.
Yeah, that's what they do in wintertime. They get the natural gas. They try to freeze everyone
out. They're trying to freeze people to death. Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is about freezing people to death. And if you look at what they hit last week in Ukraine and hitting the power grid in Ukraine, it was to make sure they could maximize civilian casualties throughout the winter. Because when you don't have electricity and you don't have the power and you don't have the gas, people literally freeze to death. We saw this last winter. We saw it the winter before. And now they're saying, we'll do it on a larger scale and there's no one that can save you.
Yeah, I want to go to this because this is Democrat Jason Crow. He's a congressman from Colorado and he disagrees strongly. He's a veteran, I think, with the Biden administration. Take a listen or watch it. Fight number two.
And on the landmine thing, I disagree with that decision as well. I think it would be setting a dangerous precedent. There's an anti-landmine treaty. These are weapons that the United States should be leading to prevent the use of around the world. And I just don't like the idea of that precedent being set here and creating permission for that.
So you think this is a bad idea that the president is doing this? I just to make sure I've got that.
I do disagree with that. Yeah, I mean, I'm very clear about that. I have pushed against the use of these weapons, and I think the United States should be leading to help prohibit the use of these weapons around the world, not enabling it.
I thought we were. I actually thought, I knew, again, that there are IEDs and things like that that were used in Iraq and Afghanistan, and those were developed by the Iranians typically to take out our Humvees and other troop patrols, and they were very deadly, and that's why we say that the Iranians have blood on their hands from many conflicts we've been involved in. But now we're shipping them out, and I think when we're shipping them out to and the Biden administration, I say we because it is the U.S. government, and Trump owns that when he comes into office and the Trump team, and if they're already getting distributed,
how do you pull them back?
Right. How do you pull it? And what do you tell Putin that we're going to go in there and demine it? I mean, that, first of all, which is a process that, again, if you've traveled any places in the world, they are still having issues with going back to World War II.
And you also have the question of, if you hand this to Zelensky's guys and they decide to put them out, are they going to listen to the U.S. going, hey, you know those weapons we sent you the other day? Hey, we don't want you to use them anymore. They could easily just lie and say, sorry, we've already deployed all of them, even though they actually have not. And that is where this is all about a dumpster fire. This is the Democratic Party, and I'm waiting for all of the Democrats who are sensible and responsible to stand up and say to this White House, this is not what we believe in. This is wrong. Start saying no to this. But notice it's basically crickets, because this is about, we want to hurt Donald Trump when he goes into office. We want to saddle him with a new conflict and a new war that takes him off his domestic agenda. And we don't care who dies in the process, and people will die because of these decisions, and they know that.
Yeah, and what they are trying to do, what you said with the domestic politics, exactly right. You know, they don't want to talk about DOGE. They don't want to talk about cutting federal spending. They don't want to talk about improving the economy, getting out of this inflation, and getting people back to work. But also the federal, just the fact that only 17% of the federal workforce is going into an office right now. Have you gotten calls from any of these federal agencies?
Can you please say that again? 17%. People need to understand. So you got 100 employees, only 17 of them are going into the office.
Yes, and the federal government has hundreds of thousands of them. So imagine at like HHS and all those places you drive by when you're in Washington, D.C., Department of Education, all the ones that they'd like to cut or completely take, you know, cut down to nothing eventually. There's no one going in. I mean, literally, there's people that are, I guess, going in that have to like turn something on. This is why if you've been like contacted by the IRS, even for like a normal thing, if you listen closely, you'll hear like a dog in the background or kids in the background. And that's
calling
because
from home.
The agents are doing their work from home. They're asking, you know, can you fax something to them? Or they're using their Gmail. And you're like, wait, I'm going to send IRS, send tax documents to Gmail? Is this even what I'm supposed to be doing? I mean, this is, again, COVID does, it's not a problem anymore, and yet no one went back to work. And this is, again, part of...
Go back go back to 16, and you guys experienced this. What did they do after Donald Trump was elected? They immediately said, we're going to go to the Steele dossier, we're going to impeach him, we're going to straddle him with, what was the issue? Russia. Yep. And it worked. It got him off his game. It got him distracted, because you had to be distracted when they're trying to impeach you. You guys were involved in that and defending him.
We were the attorneys for the Mueller investigation. And then when Mueller was done and had nothing, and you know there was nothing to do, that was immediately they switched to Ukraine.
Yep.
And it was Ukraine. It was the phone call.
The perfect phone call.
So we're going to impeach someone over a phone call where he said, hey, you know, we've had these issues with Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, and Ukraine.
And Burisma.
Is this something you should look at? And, of course, now we know you should have, but we did impeach him. And then he got impeached when he wasn't even president.
Yeah. I mean, go back to that, and it worked. It worked so well in 16. And it worked.
Are hoping if they can get the House back in a couple years, that's what they'll start again.
And they'll straddle, they can't do and it they'll deal with him. Years. They'll have him pinned down in a World War III scenario.
That he doesn't want, so he's going to, again... you'll have to bring in a whole new different team of people and trust these military guys that, again, he has had issues with because of Iraq and Afghanistan, the endless wars, as he calls them. And it looks like they're trying to create another one right before he comes into office. One that there are ways to see out of this conflict. There were ways to see how to get out of this conflict a year ago. And yet we've kept ratcheting it up instead of trying to put a deal together that gives Zelensky a way to walk away and Putin a way. He can walk away
face.
And tell his people whatever. They're not going to know. And by the way, neither Zelensky, his people stops the destruction in Ukraine. They got to rebuild. There's lots of U.S. companies that want those contracts to rebuild. Let them rebuild.
Well, you look at the phone calls, and if you look at the calls that were going out from the Trump transition team, it was very clear they were calling everyone in conflicts, whether it was Israel, whether it is Russia, whether it's Ukraine, saying, hey, we want to dial everything back when we get into office. That is our foreign policy. Yeah. And so the game that was played was the Democrats immediately said, no. If that's what you want, whether it's the right policy for the world or for the United States of America, or even respecting the voters, and the voters need to realize this right now more than ever before, the Democratic Party does not respect your vote. They do not respect who you voted for, and they are going to do everything they can to undermine Donald Trump every day in Washington.
We're
going to
take your calls. We get back at 1-800-684-3110. In breaking news, also the ICC, the International Criminal Court, where we've argued before, has just issued an arrest warrant for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. This is not only outrageous and illegal, it violates international law and the Oslo Accords. We'll get into some of that later in the broadcast with our team at ACLJ Jerusalem. We mobilize our international legal teams to take aggressive legal action. We've been working on it since it was announced this morning, overseas and overnight as well. So support the work of the ACLJ. We have our Faith and Freedom Drive right now. This is where we raise the funds to really kick off the new year, but there's so many battles in these 60 days ahead. Donate today.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
We are witnessing attacks on our faith and freedoms on a global scale at an intensity we haven't seen in generations. Here at the ACLJ, we are uniquely positioned to meet these attacks head on. We've assembled an elite legal team in offices here and around the globe, and we've been fighting in courtrooms, at the UN, and the halls of Congress for nearly 35 years. We've argued before the Supreme Court numerous times, and we've scored multiple victories for faith and freedom, all thanks to you, our donors. In order to meet legal demands of historical proportions, we are launching our Faith and Freedom Drive. your gifts are doubled dollar for dollar. We need you now more than ever. The country needs you, the world needs you, and Israel needs you. Have your gift doubled through the ACLJ's Faith and Freedom Drive today. Go to aclj.org. Thank you.
And former defense minister.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Mary in Maryland on line three. Hey, Mary, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. I'm just concerned, and I was wondering if there was any way that the Senate and or the House, I don't know how that works, but whoever could do it would do it, since some of the Democrats are against this move by Biden for the landmines. If they couldn't demand an immediate emergency medical mental exam for Biden,
you know, he's on the way out. You're kind of saying, like, who's running this? The problem is they've authorized the funding. And when they've authorized the funding, then the funding gets to be utilized by President Biden and his team. I'm not saying he's necessarily going and picking out and choosing all these things to do. But this is a big reversal on just the landmine issue.
They wouldn't have gotten the funding, I don't believe, if they would have said this is going to be used for landmines.
Could you imagine them going to Congress and saying to the Democrats, and the Democrats who were going to have to be up for re-election, all of the House members, many of the Senate members, it was tough, which they lost the Senate, and they lost the White House. If they were going to add to that campaign that they want to be the party who brings landmines back to conflicts.
You and I were talking during the break. This was a CNN headline, just to put it in perspective about how dangerous landmines are. Quote, an unexploded American bomb from World War II that had been buried at a Japanese airport exploded on Wednesday, causing a large crater in a taxiway and the cancellation of more than 80 flights, but no injuries. Japanese officials said. This is a American landmine we used in World War II that just exploded a week ago.
Yeah.
So the idea, and I think to the caller's point, she made a great point, Mary, like, can they not stop him? I don't think Democrats want to stop him.
I don't think they do either. They'll say, some will say that they're against it, but they are not against the bigger idea here, Ben, which the bigger idea here is we want to escalate this conflict so that President Trump cannot go in as easily and negotiate a way out of this for Putin and Zelensky that they can both accept. I think both of their people, if you polled most of the Russian people, they would like to re-enter the world again.
I mean,
we had an office there for 20 plus years. It survived during the invasion of Crimea because the sanctions weren't put in place completely by the Obama administration, so we didn't have to cut that office off. But the sanctions that were put in place when they invaded Ukraine this time, by the way, nothing happened in the Trump administration. So, you know, no invasions of Russia by Russia then. Then they go into the full invasion of Ukraine when Biden takes president. But you know, we had to cut off. I mean, so it was after 20 plus years of work in a post-communist Russia, the Slavic Center for Law and Justice has been able to survive some on its own. But I think most Russians would like to rejoin the world. Most Ukrainians would like to stop this conflict that they didn't even want with their Russian neighbors, many of which are I mean, this is like family versus family, a lot of these fights, too, especially when you get towards the eastern side of Ukraine.
Well, and the number of casualties, Russia has lied about that. And there's been a lot of disinformation. But if you look at the number...
The families know, and you can
see
that.
They know, and that's where I think there's a genuine want by the people in Russia. Can we please stop this? Because this doesn't make any sense. And it doesn't make any sense to our family and friends in Ukraine. It doesn't make any sense why you're trying to do this for the rest of the world. And they want to re-enter the world as you described it.
Yeah. I think, again, we see ways out of this. But every Biden decision, or let's just say every Biden White House, every decision they're making in these next 60 days is going to make it more difficult for President Trump to be able to end this conflict quickly. Now, I think he's going to use creative ways. He's going to have to look at every one of these situations. But I know, and we know this is on the top of his list to do because it's the only real hot war in the world right now. Of course, you've still got the actions going on in Gaza, and we're going to talk about that right now with the ICC. If you woke up to the news, and you may have said, well, is this new, Jordan? Is it really new that the International Criminal Court has issued an arrest warrant against Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and the former defense minister of Israel? They only issued it against one member of Hamas because the other two that would have actually bid. The other two they would have issued the warrants against are no longer with us. Ismail Haniyeh and Sinwar. Yeah, Yahya Sinwar and Ismail Haniyeh are no longer with us. But their minister of defense is. So they did issue a warrant for him. But Hamas is praising this action, of course. And
by the way, that guy's not trying to travel and do international diplomacy the way that Israel is.
He's living in tunnels.
Probably
not even in Gaza anymore.
Let's paint a picture he's hiding out. Let's paint this picture, and I want to ask you this, Jordan, because I think this is important for people to understand. Yeah. When you have an ICC-issued arrest warrant, and you are an actual leader of a country like Israel, it is clearly to handcuff you and to put you in essence a jail where you cannot travel to many parts of the world that you desperately need to travel to as a world figure head.
Yeah, it treats you as almost a criminal already, because yes, you are a prisoner in at least your own country, especially when you are surrounded by mostly enemies. I mean, now Israel has made new diplomatic deals through the Abraham Accords, and I think through the Trump administration in the second round of the Trump administration, those deals will be even more important for Israel. But right now, imagine this. If you're Benjamin Netanyahu and you think you needed to go to Europe, most European countries are members of the ICC. They would be under an obligation to arrest you
when you
and
land.
Turn you over to The Hague. Now, are they definitely going to do that? No. Could you negotiate out that they're not going to and you're going to still be allowed to attend this meeting or event or speech, but then you're going to rely on that government and you have to
not double cross you.
To not double cross you, or that your plane doesn't have some kind of issue and you've got to land somewhere and then you land there. I mean, this does cause trouble. It causes problems internationally, diplomatically. And by the way, the reason why the ICC hasn't done it before is because even in the Oslo Accords, when Palestine was somehow recognized and they let them join the ICC, they still said very clearly that the Palestinians and the ICC have no jurisdiction over, they cannot assert jurisdiction over Israelis. That means that they cannot refer cases to the ICC. So you've got all this international law telling the ICC, you can't do this. We filed in this over a year ago when this conflict began, much more over a year ago now, when this conflict began after what happened on October 7th. And you would think in the world that the people who would be most worried about an international criminal court would be the Hamas rapists and murderers.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still wearing a yellow ribbon because there's still Americans being held hostage, for God's sakes, in Gaza. But who's having to worry about being arrested and going to The Hague for the International Criminal Court? It's the Jews. It's the Israelis who are only fighting this battle because of what Hamas did on October 7th. They would not be in Gaza. This conflict would not have been going on. No one was interested in starting a new conflict with Hamas, including Netanyahu. Go back and look at his speeches. He was trying to say, you know what? They don't look like they're bothering us right now. Let's not bother them. And they planned this attack. Israel has to respond. Remember, everybody, we've got a November 30th deadline, a deadline that if you make that donation by midnight where you are on November 30th, that donation is doubled. So let me explain it to you real quick. You make a $25 donation, that unleashes $25 that was pledged by a group of donors that says if you can raise it, we will match it. Because of you, that is effectively doubled, but it doesn't cost you double. I just want to make that clear. You're not going to be charged double or get a second charge. This is really important for us, not just to kick off the year in January 1st, which we, of course, have to do. But there's fights going on right now. You know, our team doesn't stop with holidays. We're all around the world, so those offices are continuing to be open. Now, we are really thankful for you, and we come to you straight. We say when we need the resources, we come directly to you, and you have been providing them. Thank you. This is a time that we have to prepare. Go to ACLJ.org. Be part of the challenge. Again, your donation will have double the impact if you make it by November 30th at midnight. That's at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
We are witnessing attacks on our faith and freedoms on a global scale at an intensity we haven't seen in generations. Here at the ACLJ, we are uniquely positioned to meet these attacks head on. We are launching our Faith and Freedom Drive. Your gifts are doubled, dollar for dollar. The country needs you, the world needs you, and Israel needs you. Have your gift doubled through the ACLJ's Faith and Freedom Drive today. Go to aclj.org.
I'm talking about freedom.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
You know, as we gather around the Thanksgiving table this year, there's a lot to be thankful for. It has been, there's a lot of challenges ahead. Of course, there are for our country, for our faith, and of course, for our allies. But that doesn't mean that we don't take time to be thankful for all the good things that we have another day, that we continue the fight, that we can continue to do the work we do here at the ACLJ, continue to do the broadcast for you. And it's something, again, that we're thankful to be able to wake up and do every day. And we thank God. We thank our supporters as well, who have that faith, driven by their faith in Christ, but also by their faith in ACLJ to do the right work, to use the resources. So we thank you. We have a lot to be thankful for. We all do, personally, privately, and also as an organization. And I want to just take a minute to say thank you to all of our supporters. Whether you're a financial contributor, whether you're a listener who shares our broadcast, shares our post, it is all important. And we know you're all in a different position. But we thank God for all of you and everyone here at the ACLJ. There's a big team that is hard to comprehend every day. And we have to remind ourselves every day, the team that we're responsible for, the people that we're responsible for, and the resources that we're responsible for. So thank you. We appreciate you. And during this Thanksgiving and this week of giving thanks, you know, the work doesn't stop. And what we'll remind you today, of course, the work, whether it's the International Criminal Court with these arrest warrants issued. So not just the threat, not just the investigation, but now arrest warrants issued against people like Prime Minister Netanyahu in Israel. So how does that restrict his ability to travel? What can the ACLJ do? We have a unique experience through the ACLJ and the European Center for Law and Justice, specifically with the International Criminal Court, which not many American-based organizations, even with international affiliates, can say, because the United States, like Israel, is not a member state. So it's what do you do when you're not a member state, and yet they're trying to go after you through other individuals and working through these issues of international law, being able to cut through to all the politics and some of the, again, the talking point of the protesting, and just get down to the basics, which is the ICC has no jurisdiction here. They know it. They tried to do it through a Palestinian state that they gave jurisdiction to, that other international documents that predate the ICC restrict the Palestinians or the ICC or other international tribunals from doing, but they're testing them now. And they're testing them again at a time when they believe Israel is weaker internationally. So we know how important it is to have an administration coming in and officials coming in who have Israel's back, but we have to be ready also as an organization at the ACLJ and through our international affiliates to be there when these, like these last 4 years, when you've got kind of an up and down, and the, you know, a politician will say one thing to one group, or they'll literally run one ad to one part of the country saying how they're tough on Israel, and another ad in a different part of the country saying that they support Israel and you know, all of, so we know that it's not a time where everything is perfect, and we know there's a lot of people concerned about the direction of our country, but we've made changes. You made changes, and people went out and voted. Now we have to hold those people accountable as well to make the changes that they ran on, and you also have to give them space to get those changes in. Things don't always happen overnight. Some of them can, some of them don't. So we have to kind of prepare ourselves for that again as well. At the ACLJ, whether we're taking on the deep state, which is going to come back hard, well, it already has, let's be honest. Since the election, we've seen the deep state already take down people who President Trump wanted to bring in. And that is what they tried to do to everyone, including Supreme Court nominees and people that will be nominated in the future. Whether we're fighting in courts, defending a student's right, defending a teacher's right, or an employee's right, it's all for these bigger ideas that you understand. It's faith, freedom, and the ideas of liberty. And we, again, are so thankful for our supporters. We want you to get updated. Go to aclj.org. Support the work of ACLJ. You can double the impact of your donation right now. This is the time to do it. aclj.org. Go there today. Make that donation. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
We are witnessing attacks on our faith and freedoms on a global scale at an intensity we haven't seen in generations. Here at the ACLJ, we are uniquely positioned to meet these attacks head on. We've assembled an elite legal team in offices here and around the globe, and we've been fighting in courtrooms, at the UN, and the halls of Congress for nearly 35 years. We've argued before the Supreme Court numerous times, and we've scored multiple victories for faith and freedom, all thanks to you, our donors. In order to meet legal demands of historical proportions, we are launching our Faith and Freedom Drive. Your gifts are doubled, dollar for dollar. We need you now more than ever. The country needs you, the world needs you, and Israel needs you. Have your gift doubled through the ACLJ's Faith and Freedom Drive today. Go to aclj.org. Thank you.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
This is a perfect example of why the ACLJ has to exist. It's a beyond politics because it's for the American people. And when you see a wrong and you act on it and then you end up getting sued, which we think is wrong that you would be sued for, again, calling out something and using your free speech to do so. But you do get sued, and then, you know, who's going to back you? Who's going to support you? Well, the ACLJ is there for you. And I want to go to Cece Howe, because Cece, this is a case I just had mentioned to folks where government officials, a teacher in this case, suing pro-Israel parents for exposing their anti-Semitism and that they were posting online and just telling people and then telling their Facebook friends and other parents that if you have a problem with this, if like I do, we should let the school know to make sure that this isn't being taught in the classroom, that this teacher isn't pushing this anti-Semitism on our students. And before she knew it, the parent was getting sued.
Yeah. And this is, again, trying to shut down pro-Israeli speech. So exactly like you said, you have a teacher who is posting inappropriate anti-Semitic posts. And the fact that a parent, rightfully so, reposts that post and says, hey, this is anti-Semitic. And other parents, if you have a problem, do like I am and reach out to the school board. And then that teacher just reacts and goes after our client. And it's ridiculous because the teacher thinks she has a First Amendment right to say whatever she wants to say. But of course, our client does not have a First Amendment right to say whatever she likes to say because it's pro-Israel information. And so, you know, the First Amendment does protect the expressions of opinions, and we are defending, you know, our client, and we are in a very good position to, win this.
Yes, I think this shows you folks why you got to support the ACLJ too. I mean, this is a really critical time for us. We do this towards the end of the year, wait till after the election, where, again, we put together during this Faith and Freedom Drive the resources that we have to not just to finish out the year, but to be prepared to start January 1st, knowing that there's going to be the confirmation battles, these cases, the lawfare will continue. Even in these last days of the Biden administration, I don't think we've seen the worst. I mean, we've seen the FBI raid, you know, Polymarket. What else is the FBI going to do to kind of try to act? There's some of their final acts on what they perceive to be as you know, pro-Trump or pro-conservative companies or businesses. You know, they wanted to ruin Elon Musk and take away his businesses. Now, and they were talking about that, though they loved him years ago, and they all drive his cars for virtue signaling purposes. And they think that that was great until he decided that their attack on free speech had gone too far. He actually said today, you know, I'm not so left as like Soros, but what I am going to do is I'm going to spend the money to make sure this country gets back to sanity, which I think is, you know, where the business world wants to see the country and where most people do too. It's not about going hard right or hard left. It's about sanity with our DAs, sanity when it comes to free speech. And the idea here that a parent is going to be sued for defamation because they speak up about a teacher putting out information that would be inappropriate to share in class.
Yeah, and it's lawfare. I mean, we've seen that. They have used lawfare against Israel time and time again. We saw that after October 7th, anti-Semitic attacks increased 400%. 400%. And we're seeing that across the board. And it's not now just in, you know, government levels. This is literally a school level with a parent attack being attacked by a teacher who thinks she has every right to post anti-Semitic, you know, content, but a parent does not have any right to say, I disagree, and this is not appropriate, and we need to bring this to the school board.
And you know, Jordan, when you look at even this case, and we said this yesterday on the broadcast, that when people who share policy goals with our ideology as conservatives are in the White House, it actually makes our work spread out, because it's no longer fighting against the federal government for constitutional policies that we want to see incorporated in America and get back to sanity. But then you start to see we have to have more resources, because you're focusing on all of the blue states that then, as reaction to conservative victories and you know, rational victories in America, they try to go as far left as they can.
Yeah.
And when you're in a state like Illinois, that's where, one, you could be concerned that the politics on the ground there aren't in favor of someone who doesn't want their child to be instructed with anti-Semitism and anti-Israel by a theater director at a public high school. So then you have to get in court. So it actually causes the work of the ACLJ to become more important and have to have more resources, because you're not just focusing on Washington. Yeah. You're focusing at the 20-plus states. They're going to be trying to go after conservatives as retribution for a Trump victory in D.C. And I think also it goes to show that the left hasn't learned, and we'll see how this plays out in Illinois, but the left hasn't learned even the mistakes of what happened in Virginia, where Virginia going more and more blue, until they started going after parents speaking out at school board meetings, and Governor Youngkin wins a resounding victory there. If you keep having parents' rights taken away, their ability to speak on behalf of their children, you're going to turn off everyone in this country, and you're going to see traditional blue states flipping red, because that's not okay. You have to allow parents free speech to not get slapped with a defamation lawsuit just because they're trying to stick up for their kids.
So where does this stand now, CC, in court? Like, what's the makeup once we got involved?
Yeah, so it has been removed to federal court. It started on state court. It's been removed to federal court. And right now we just started. It's just in its early stages, but we are defending the lawsuit. The teacher sued the school board as well. And so we are defending the parent in this. And so it's just in its early stages, but we are in federal court defending.
I think Will is absolutely right, too. This is not going to be the end of this. We're going to see more and more of this in the deep blue states who think the rest of the country is insane and that there's something wrong with us. So you have to quiet us. You have to quiet us talking about our faith. You have to quiet us. You know, if we support Israel, we must be crazy. If you voted this way, what's happened? You know, even kind of like what John Fetterman said, this whole idea that this syndrome. Remember, we've talked about it before for how many years? Trump derangement syndrome? It's been on full display. Now, I think what he's doing, we're going to talk about too, is he's pushing the left, because this time around, he got elected again against all these cases and booking him and photographing him, making him sit through hours and hours of court, getting shot, almost getting shot again with another assassination attempt, and having a nominee switched halfway through because the first candidate they chose to run against him looked like they could no longer hold it together mentally. So they throw another candidate in their place who never got any votes, beats them, winning the popular vote, winning the Electoral College, which is all you have to do to be the president. That's the game you have to play. But I do think he strategically went to some states that were not going to be states you could win to make sure there were more people understood it was important to get out the vote in big numbers. And we kept preaching that here, too, because the left's move was going to be, and we've taken that away from them, this idea that, you know what, we need to move away from the Electoral College. We need to go to popular vote. And now they're looking and saying, uh-oh, wait, you mean if Republicans go to California, there's more Republicans that may actually vote there because you're telling them why you need them to vote? And so it's actually not so easy just for Democrats to win the popular vote? Yeah. And you just got a taste of it in this election. If you really knew that was where to put the resources and how to win, I think that you could still find a lot more Republican votes out there. We were just tip of the iceberg at some of these places that we knew were not going to be Electoral College victories for President Trump. We got a lot to talk about. We want to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. But I do want to let you just know that we don't say this for nothing, that this is such an important time of the year for us at the ACLJ. We've been doing a lot of work. That means a lot of resources have been depleted. And you've been following all of our work. You've been following what we've got to you on. We tried to talk about as many of the cases as we can on this show. We had a lot going on in the country and the world, still do. So some of those we didn't even get to. They're online at aclj.org. Others we did. But we are also going to continue to update you on how this transition is moving forward and how the promise of a peaceful transition. I think, yes, you'll see that. I think some of these hearings, though, there's going to be fireworks at. And some of those might involve our friends, like Tulsi Gabbard. So we're going to talk about her nomination when we come back on Seculo. But I encourage you, we are able to build those kind of teams for you to get through these 4 years and beyond so that you would have expert information to take to your friends and family and to learn so that when we were discussing complicated international issues, you were learning from the best people who had the best information, who had access to all of the information, and they were able to continue to educate you. It takes resources. To represent you in court, takes resources. We're ready to go to fight back. I don't think we've seen the end of lawfare. I think we've seen the beginning of a move at the federal level to end lawfare, but that does not mean these states and localities and district attorneys are done. And while it might be harder for him to come after the president, guess who they'll start looking for? Oh, the low-hanging fruit. That's us, the citizens, who don't have those same capabilities. So support the work of the ACLJ this month. Double the impact of your donation if you donate today at aclj.org. We need those resources. Please donate. aclj.org. Double your impact.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
We are witnessing attacks on our faith and freedoms on a global scale at an intensity we haven't seen in generations. Here at the ACLJ, we are uniquely positioned to meet these attacks head on. We've assembled an elite legal team in offices here and around the globe, and we've been fighting in courtrooms, at the UN, and the halls of Congress for nearly 35 years. We've argued before the Supreme Court numerous times, and we've scored multiple victories for faith and freedom, all thanks to you, our donors. In order to meet legal demands of historical proportions, we are launching our Faith and Freedom Drive. Your gifts are doubled, dollar for dollar. We need you now more than ever. The country needs you, the world needs you, and Israel needs you. Have your gift doubled through the ACLJ's Faith and Freedom Drive today. Go to aclj.org. Thank you.
Welcome back to Secular. We're going to spend the rest of our broadcast taking as many calls as we can, so give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. Will, is there anybody else on this list of cabinet picks that we really need to go over that our audience would find interesting?
Well, John Ratcliffe being picked for CIA director, I think, is a really strong pick. He was the director of national intelligence at the end of President Trump's first term, very well-versed in the intelligence community, but he's also did a really good job of cleaning up what Rick started as acting director of national intelligence. John Ratcliffe was then, after Rick moved on from that position, he jumped in there as well, was confirmed by the Senate, and he did a really good job of starting to take on the intelligence state, kind of the deep state within the intelligence community, making things more transparent for the American people. And I think at the CIA, it's an agency that especially people in the conservative world have a lot of issues with how much leeway they have sometimes, and how the deep state within some of these intelligence agencies have acted nefariously. I mean, even the fact that today the FBI announces that they have arrested a CIA employee. It was someone in the CIA leaked the plans that the assessment that the U.S. Israel. Intelligence Committee had on Israel's response to Iran. And that was leaked to the Iranians and spread around Iranian telegram channels. That was a CIA employee.
Yeah.
So the fact that we have someone strong like John Ratcliffe to go in there and clean up that agency, there is a real purpose for the CIA in this world. We do need that. However, there is so much that goes on within the CIA that it really does need to be cleaned up from someone who will take them on.
Absolutely. In relation to Israel, can we go to bite eight? Can we pull that up pretty quick? All right. So this was President Biden. So he was in a gaggle. So the press is kind of yelling and screaming. And you'll hear someone, and you got to listen closely. And I'll read it to you after. They throw out there a question about getting a hostage deal by the end of his term. So take a listen.
President Biden, do you think that you can get a hostage deal by the end of your term?
You think you're going to keep getting hit in the head by a camera behind you? All right.
See, there we go. It's a little hard to hear, but what happens is President Biden is asked, do you think you can get a hostage deal by the end of the term? President Biden looks up, looks at the reporter and says, do you think you can keep from getting hit in the head by a camera behind you? By the camera behind you? That was his response. And then, all right, got up and pretty much
that was
the end of it. These are concerning times when you hear that. This is how Donald Trump goes in and wins in a landslide. Because, one, that's not how you respond to the press. And number two, that's how you respond when you're talking about, do you think you get a hostage deal, get American hostages home? What, that is an answer he can't give? He has to give a snarky response to, you know, hope the camera doesn't hit you? I mean, that's a ridiculous thing that you can't even believe happens. It also just shows clearly they weren't wrong to try to replace Biden. Even though it went chaotically.
That's right. I think we should get back to phone calls here as we wrap up the show. Let's go to Heidi calling in from Texas on line 6. Heidi, you're on Seculo.
Hello. My question today is about the secret ballot vote that took place in the Senate. And as a constituent, I like to know how my senators vote to know when the next primary comes around, if I should be voting for somebody else. And my question is, why was it a secret ballot vote? Is it always that way for Senate Majority Leader, or was it just this time? And if so, why?
It is always a anonymous ballot, a secret ballot. This isn't a constitutional position within the Senate. It's not a statutory position. This is the Senate is free to make their own rules about their leadership and how they choose that. And so the party normally does it this way. They do it. It was just Republicans there, obviously. It was the Republican conference meeting. They go over agenda items. One of their first orders of business is to elect the leader of their leadership for the next Senate. The Democrats will do the exact same thing on their side. They will pick the minority leader of their party. And we will see if that is still Chuck Schumer. I would assume it would be, unless he decides that he doesn't want to be in that position anymore. But yes, it typically is. This is the way they do it. Now, you can not like it, but there's no real strings that you can pull to get them to change that. They have to be the ones that decide, hey, we're not going to do it this way anymore. Now, you did see many senators come out and say who they were endorsing, who they were going to vote for. Now, we ultimately don't know how they all voted in the final ballot, but you do know a handful. It was about 13 that were publicly supporting Rick Scott in that. I know Marsha Blackburn and Bill Hagerty, both Tennessee senators, were supporting him in that. So it's not out of the ordinary, even if we don't like it. We'd like more transparency. However, that's how they choose to do it.
All right, let's continue on. Thank you for your call, Heidi. Let's go to Daniel, who's calling and listening on ACLJ.org, which I appreciate. Daniel, you're on the air.
Gentlemen, thank you, and thank you, ACLJ, for everything, for decades of everything. I haven't heard this discussed much, but a couple of days ago I heard General Flynn talking about a potential problem in the during the transition period. He said, he described that the transition from Obama to President Trump, during that time, they filled the deep state filled 1,500 plus positions in packing the deep state with oppositional characters, and he warned that it was happening again, and suggested that the House lead, the representative,
Speaker Johnson. Speaker Johnson.
Yes, he recommended they implement a hiring freeze. Can you tell us more?
Well, I don't know specifically how a hiring freeze would work. It depends also if those are positions that are already allocated they could fill, or even if they're temporary positions that would need to later be confirmed by a Senate. There's a lot of different variables there. However, he is not wrong. And Jordan has said this many times, this is the most dangerous period in American politics is when President Trump was elected until Inauguration Day, because the deep state will be making moves. We know that when Obama was going out of office, they stabbed Israel in the back at the UN. They abstained from a vote which on Palestinian statehood that was being put forward by the General Assembly. We know that James Comey took advantage of that period of time while they were still setting up their government to send FBI agents to interview General Flynn, as you just mentioned. So, yes, they absolutely are going to try to do everything they can to try to protect themselves, protect their legacy, and make it harder for Trump's agenda to move forward. It absolutely is happening and absolutely will happen. And it's just knowing where to go to try to root that out first. Yeah. And I think that the Trump team is better suited to do that this time.
Yeah, I think so. But also, we got to continue our work as well. Look, and apologize to Tony and to Michael. We're not going to be able to get to you today. But as Will said, you know, the deep state, if you will, is always trying to subvert the plans of conservatives, it feels like, and of Christians. And I'm sure they're scheming to do it again. And that's why we got to continue to fight back. We just filed actually a critical brief to have Jack Smith removed from his unconstitutional political prosecution against Trump. We've heard that. We're still battling, and we're going to continue to battle for the next few months, the Biden-Harris administration, because it's going to keep piling up, as our caller said. This takes a lot of resources, because they have endless resources, and we need your support. Have your gift doubled right now. Have your fight doubled right now. To defend faith and freedom during our Faith and Freedom Drive, I encourage you to do that. Go to ACLJ.org and have your gift doubled. If you can, give a little more than extra. And if you can, become a recurring member of the ACLJ. We call ACLJ champions. Those people that give on a monthly recurring basis. You can do all of that very easily. Just go to ACLJ.org right now. And again, if you're brand new to this broadcast, hit that subscribe button if you're watching on YouTube or on Rumble. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
We are witnessing attacks on our faith and freedoms on a global scale at an intensity we haven't seen in generations. Here at the ACLJ, we are uniquely positioned to meet these attacks head on. We are launching our Faith and Freedom Drive. Your gifts are doubled, dollar for dollar. The country needs you, the world needs you, and Israel needs you. Have your gift doubled through the ACLJ's Faith and Freedom Drive today. Go to ACLJ.org